with me to the Old Testament prophet of Jeremiah. That's where we'll begin our study in just a moment. The book of Jeremiah and the second chapter. And while we're getting settled, we're grateful for each of you here and that we've had time to lift up our voices in praise to God and that we are able to take time to make a study of His Word. We'll be standing and singing the song that Brother Houchin has suggested, and if you've never put on Christ in baptism, all things have been made ready tonight where you can confess that He's the Son of God and be immersed for the remission of sins. In the book of Jeremiah and the second chapter, I want to read with you verse 36. Why do you gad about so much to change your way? Also, you shall be ashamed of Egypt as you were ashamed of Assyria. I want you to take note of the question that God asked through the prophet Jeremiah in verse 36. Why do you gad about so much to change your way? You'll find that that question is also raised in Jeremiah 31 and verse 22. And I want us to stop and to recognize that at this time, the people of God, the people of old, were prone to forget God. They would turn from God to worship the idols of other nations. And the nations that were serving idols were very faithful to their dumb gods, more so than the ones who were serving Jehovah God. In Isaiah chapter 1, if you remember when Isaiah was prophesying, he makes a contrast in verse 3 when he says, "The ox knows its owner and the donkey its master's crib, but Israel does not know. My people do not consider." What a strong statement from the prophet Isaiah when he says, compared to the animals of the field, they know their master, but my people do not know theirs. It's no wonder that Jeremiah is identified as the weeping prophet, for he saw enough in his day to cause one to weep. But in Jeremiah 2 and verse 32, what God is saying is, "You have forgotten me." It was then the prophet of God asked the question, "Why do you gad about as though you do not need to change your way?" I want you to think about some things that was taught from this prophecy of Jeremiah. The first thing I want to bring down is let's look at the relationship that he is making a comparison about. There are some things we need to note about this great verse in this book. First, there is a relationship between God and the people of Israel. And I want you to take note, if you will read the verse, he's not talking to some stranger. He's not talking to someone who did not know about God, who was just traveling from north to south and east to west. He is speaking to Israel, the bride of God, at this time. And it was people that were in a covenant relationship with God. And they should have been faithful to God because God had been faithful to them. But he said, Israel is gadding about. Secondly, notice their sole delight should have been in the love of God, in the husband's love. Remember, God is a jealous God. And in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 5, God said that He is a jealous God, and thus He will not tolerate man falling down to idols or bowing down to something other than Him. That if you put anything before God, that is a sin. So you can see that God was concerned over Israel, and Israel should have found delight in the great love of her husband. God being the husband, Israel being the bride, should have found love in God. But then I want you to think about a third thing. She should have been diligent in her household. Let it be remembered the word of the wise man as he describes the woman of virtue in Proverbs 31. She's busy working in the household. She's busy doing those things that give credit to her husband. She's a woman of great virtue. But notice, Israel could not be identified that way. She was not busy in the household of God. She was busy gadding about, gallivanting around, looking for pleasure, looking for different things. So that raises the question, why gaddest thou about so much? After taking note of the relationships and the duties that the bride was to do for God, we now turn to the simple and yet powerful question, why were they gadding about? Was it because the Lord had offended them? Has the Lord ever been unkind to them? Just when and what had God done to cause His bride Israel under the old dispensation to gad about? Can you show me anywhere under the old covenant where God was ever unfaithful? Now we see time and time again where the nation was unfaithful to God, but we never see where God was unfaithful to His people. But then I want you to think about another question. Had they found happiness in gadding about? Here is God who'd been faithful to them and their children in all these years, and now they're gadding about. And the question is, does that make you happy? You're not keeping your covenant with God. You're not in the right relationship with God, but you are gallivanting around. You are being unfaithful to God in that covenant relationship. But then I want you to think about another thing. Had they not paid for their gadding about? Must I remind Israel how much she had to pay for her gadding about? She had gone down in Egyptian captivity. She'd been in Babylonian captivity. Each and every time she got into trouble, it was for gadding about. Now then, I want to take that and apply that to the church of today. And I want to raise the question, why are many of the local churches gadding about? I think it would do no harm to the text to take this and apply it to the people of our day in our time. Because first of all, the church is the bride of Christ. And this needs to be impressed upon the mind of the people of God. The church, every Christian who makes up the body of Christ, is married to Christ. Open your Bible to the Ephesian letter and the 5th chapter. And when the Apostle Paul penned this letter to the church at Ephesus, look at what he says in chapter 5 and verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Thus we see the relationship that we have with Christ, and the duties that are characteristic of Israel are to be of the church. We are to submit to Christ. We are to put Christ first. We are to submit to His will and obey His will. But then, think about how some people today are gadding about. Just look at the church today. She's going about flirting with different religious sects. The Catholicism and denominationalism. And people in the local churches are trying to leave the impression that all is well in doing so. But that can't be true. Has Christ ever been untrue to His people? No. God has always been faithful. Has Christ ever changed? No. He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. In Matthew 28:20, we see Christ has never failed. But I tell you what bothers me is when we look out and we see churches gadding about. That's exactly how Roman Catholicism got here. She was born out of the church gadding about instead of being true to Christ. Notice in your Bible in the book of Acts in the 20th chapter that Paul had warned that there would be such that would come in. He said to the elders in verse 28, "Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. For I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock." Then look at what he says in verse 30. "And also from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw the disciples away after themselves." I want you to think about how many people today have been drawn away. How many people today are being drawn away from the one body, the true and living church that Jesus said He'd build, and they're being drawn away because they're not listening to the Word of God, but they're listening to the wisdom of men. And they're gadding about. They're gallivanting. They're looking for something new and different. And I'll tell you what they find. They can find a place that has a rock band up front. They can find where the preacher comes out on a stage and tells funny stories and there's smoke rising up and they can go out and feel good and they can meet a lot of people and have social activities and social interaction. But the truth is not proclaimed. God's Word is not put on display and they gad about. Open your Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 4. And when you come to 1 Timothy chapter 4, look at what the writer of God says in verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. Have you thought about how people have added to God's Word and people have taken away from God's Word? But then you don't have to look any farther than local churches of Christ. You can look in Nashville, Tennessee, and in Nashville, Tennessee, you'll find churches of Christ that have added the instrument. You'll find churches of Christ that have had women preachers. You'll find that they are doing a lot of things that God has not given New Testament authority for. In fact, some things He has come down and said, do not do, and they go ahead and do it. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 2. Look at verse 11. When he said, let a woman learn in silence with all submission, and I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over men, but to be in silence. That is a direct command. And you know, my friend, people are saying, well, we don't have to follow that. We'll just do what we want to do. You know what they are? They're gadding about. And you can look and see what's happened to local churches. Brethren departed. Brethren divided, departed from the faith, and some will never come back. And it all starts when we start looking around instead of looking to God. When we start wanting to grow to the point that we are willing to compromise truth, which is not ours to compromise, then I'll tell you, my friend, then we gad about. And I'll tell you what happened. Church is no longer what it needs to be. What a shame. What we need to do is let the church learn not to gad about, but be true to her head, which is Christ. Be faithful to what God has said. Be faithful to His Word. Be faithful to the fact that He has all authority. And I'll tell you, that would solve a lot of our problems tonight. You know, I'm thankful that I get opportunities to go to other places and I get to talk to people because it helps me see what's going on. And when I go and they tell me what's going on around Nashville and what's going on in other places, it helps me realize we need to stand firm in God's Word. We need to make sure that we are not gadding about and seeking something as a substitute instead of our faithfulness to God. God has remained faithful to us. As His church, as His people, let us remain faithful to Him. If you're here tonight and you need to be obedient to the gospel call, we pray you come as together we stand and sing.